This week's Parsha, Parshas Vayetze, has a lot going on. We have Yaakov's sojourn in the house of Lavan, how he meets Rachel by the well, his subsequent marriages, and the birth of his children. When Yaakov meets Rachel at the well, he tells her, Ki achi avihahu, I am the brother of your father, although he wasn't really a brother, he was a nephew. Chazal say, Amarla, im ramayhu, if he's going to try and trick me, Achiv ani baramaos, I will just trick him back. What was going on here is that Yaakov had asked Rachel to marry him eventually, and Rachel said, you don't understand who my father is. He's going to try and figure out some sort of trick to make it that we don't end up getting married. And at that point, Yaakov assured her and said, we can also come up with tricks. And the trick that they came up with was that they passed simonim. They gave each other a sign. So there, at the night of the chuppah, they would be able to use that sign so that Rachel could prove to Yaakov, I am indeed your wife. So it becomes very complicated and difficult to understand that when the time actually came and the story played out exactly the way they assumed it would, why is Rachel giving over the signs to Leah? Why is she giving over the simonim? She's jeopardizing her whole future here. And another question is, why would she remain quiet until the last minute? Why didn't she tell Lavan about the simonim? Why didn't she go and say, Lavan, my father, my dear father, this whole trick of yours is not going to work because actually me and Yaakov have a secret sign. And then she could have avoided the whole thing. And one last question, which is really half of the answer. The Gemara says that Rachel was zeicha to have Shaul come out of her because of her tznius. And when we look through the story, we see a lot of chesed and we see a lot of gvura. But where is the tznius? What is the tznius that we are seeing here? Rav Shalom Shvadron comes up with a novel pshat. He says that Rachel and Yaakov had thought that perhaps Lavan was going to try and trick him and switch Rachel for Leah. But they thought that the whole thing would be done in secret. The switch would be done in secret. There would be a quiet wedding. And when it wouldn't work, they would all go home. But no one would ever have to know about it. But Lavan went and he told the whole city about it. He told them that this is what he's going to do. The way he convinced them to do it was that he said, look, it's good for us to have Yaakov in the city. Since Yaakov came, we've had a lot more prosperity in the city, and therefore this is what I'm trying to do, and play along with me. He even got them to pay for the wedding. So now the plan of the signs isn't going to work because it's going to be a very public thing. And although it wasn't really just her decision to make, she understood that Yaakov wouldn't have made this plan with her if he realized that it would be at the expense of public embarrassment. It then also makes sense why we see Yaakov getting upset at Leah but not at Rachel, and she's the one that he should have been the most upset about. At. We made up these signs and then you went and you messed the whole thing up. Why didn't she tell Lavan? Why couldn't she tell Lavan her father before the whole public wedding? And that's because of her tznius. She didn't want that anybody should know about a private conversation between her and her future husband. She was a tzanua and certain things shouldn't be discussed with anybody else. But here's another question. So we understand why she didn't tell Lavan. But she's going to have to tell Leah, right? She tells Leah, look, these are the simonim. So if she's going to tell Leah anyway, she could have told Leah a month before the wedding. They knew this was going on. And she could have told Leah, look, Leah, my dear sister, you better tell our father that this isn't going to work because me and Yaakov have simonim. So what difference would it make to Rachel when she tells Leah about the simonim if she's anyways going to have to reveal this private conversation that she had? What was she thinking? And here's the real chiddush. Could it be that Leah never knew about the simonim? The Baalei Tosfos says that the simonim were the three mitzvahs, the three special mitzvahs of a woman. When Rachel told Leah the simonim, she didn't say, Leah, I have to tell you the simonim that I made up with Yaakov. But what she said was, you are going to marry a Yaakov, and these are halachas that you have to know to marry him. She never actually told her that this was a secret sign. She just taught her what the halachas were, and that became the simonim. When Yaakov asked Leah if she knew the halachas, he assumed that it must be Rachel. It says in the Medrash, that Rachel masra es simanim. She gave them over, not gilta. She didn't reveal the simanim. She just passed them over. And maybe this is also why when Yaakov berates Leah, he says, why did you answer me when I called you Rachel? But he doesn't say, why did you use the simanim? Because it seems like it's possible that she never really knew that it was simanim. In the Medrash, there's a famous Medrash, Medrash Eicha. It talks about how when Klal Yisrael were going down to Bavel, they passed by Kever Rachel, and they were crying there. And the Medrash describes a whole scene going up in Shemayim where each of the Avos and Imais were coming to plead with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have pity on their children, on his children, and nothing was happening, nothing was helping until Rachel Imenu came, and Rachel said, I gave over the simanim to my sister, and I wasn't jealous. How could you, Hashem, be jealous of Avodah Zarah? Please forgive them in the schus of what I did. And we want to understand, why was this the greatest schus? Why was this greater than Avram bringing Yitzchak at Akedas Yitzchak? Why was, well, there's so many other schuyas that the different Avos and Imais have. Why was this greater? And they answer that the other nisyonos were very difficult, but once they were over, they were over. But her nisayon never ended. She stayed in this nisayon her entire life, and she never ever made Leah feel bad that she gave over the simanim. And we see this with the story of the Dudaim later on, when Reuven is going to bring flowers to Leah, his mother, and these flowers purportedly had some sort of fertility powers, and Rachel asked for the flowers. We are astounded when Leah turns to Rachel and says, "Hama'at kachtech es ishi? Is it not enough, Rachel, that you have taken away my husband, that you also want to take away the flowers?" And we say, who exactly took away whose husband here? Didn't Leah realize that Rachel had given up everything in order that Leah should be able to not be embarrassed? But when we understand this pshat, then it could make sense for us. No, Leah never knew. Leah never understood the tremendous mesiras nefesh of Rachel, because Rachel never told her. And to be able to live with a nisayon that doesn't end, because it didn't end, and it never becomes clear. There was never that aha moment where Rachel said, okay, now I understand. Here, Leah is having one child after another. Rachel doesn't have the children. Rachel dies in childbirth. Yes, the aha moment is going to come, but when? 1,000 years later, when the children are being taken out of Golas, taken down to Golas, that's when the moment comes. 1,000 years is a very long time to wait. This one act of Rachel giving over the simanim was really four acts, and each one of them comes with a tremendous char. Number one, her tznius. She didn't tell Lavan. She didn't tell anybody about the simanim, and because of this, she was zeicha to Shaul, who inherits from her this midah of tznius. Number two, the fact that she gave the simanim, the fact that she had that chesed to give the simanim, and because of this, she was zeicha to children. It says that Rachel was an akara, she was physically an akara. There was no way she can have a child. She didn't have a uterus, she didn't have a womb. But because she went over and beyond to make sure that her sister wasn't embarrassed. And again, we know the end of the story. We know that ultimately she's going to end up marrying Yaakov and it's all going to be good. But if we remember the earlier Midrashim, the reason that Leah's eyes were weak from crying was because the whole world had said, there's two brothers, there's two sisters. Let the two twin brothers marry the two sisters. And if Leah takes Yaakov, that's going to leave Rachel for Esav. So we know that ultimately 7 days later, Rachel's going to marry Yaakov and that's going to work out. But Rachel didn't know that when she was giving over the simanim. She could have thought and perhaps expected that, okay, you did a very nice thing. You gave over your husband to your sister, but that means you're not going to get him. And even worse, it means you might get Esav. So the fact that she gave over the simanim, that tremendous chus, makes her zeicha to have children. The fact that she never told Leah, because of this, she was zeicha to the bechara. That Yosef, in many ways, was the bechar, and he ended up with the two children. But the fourth and hardest act was to keep the secret for the rest of her life. not telling love on the day of the chasana, not telling Leah I'm giving you over the simonim, but not saying a word when Leah says hama'at kachtech es ishi, never saying a word, holding on to this, and never being jealous, and never in a moment of jealousy letting the secret out. For this she is zeicha to the ultimate promise of v'shavu banim legvula, your children, Rachel, in your schus, that you weren't jealous of your sister, and you did this tremendous act of chesed, and you never made her feel bad about it. For this you get v'shavu banim legvula. Yes, Rachel, your children will come home.